Hi, this is Dave Kale. Here's a question that I was asked recently, and it's this: can you be a spiritual leader even if you were not trained in a seminary? Well, those of you who have listened to me for a while know that I have some strong feelings about this question and about the idea behind it. You know, there are a number of ideas that are bantered around so much within our Christian culture that people assume that they are unquestioned truth when they are anything but that. And this is one such idea. And the idea is this: spiritual leaders must be seminary trained pastors. What a load of garbage. That idea is non-biblical, first of all. Number two, it serves to hinder the growth of the kingdom, and it discourages thousands of Christians who would otherwise take on leadership roles. So, you know, let's unpack this. Number one, it's not biblical. The position of pastor as we know it today simply does not exist in the New Testament. The idea of a paid professional leader of a congregation, that idea didn't gain currency until hundreds of years after the birth of the church. In the church that Christ built, the leaders are called elders, and the New Testament is very specific about how they become qualified for their role. It has nothing to do with what they know, the kind of knowledge one would gain in a seminary, for example, and it has everything to do with who they have become, their character. Paul, writing to Timothy, even went so far as to stipulate that they must run their businesses well. They were, for the most part, business leaders. Now, I'm going to quote here 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. This saying is trustworthy. If someone aspires to the office of an overseer, now that's an elder, my words, he desires a good work. The overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, an able teacher, not a drunkard, not violent, gentle, not contentious, free from the love of money. He must manage his own household well. Remember, a household is a business in biblical terms. He must manage his own household well and keep his children in control. So two things: his household, his business, and his family. He must keep his children in control without losing his dignity. But if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for the church of God? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become arrogant and fall into the punishment that the devil will extract. And he must be well thought of by those outside the faith, so that he may not fall into disgrace and be caught by the devil's trap. Now that's 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. What has that, in this very specific descriptions of the character of an elder or an overseer, where do you see he must go to the seminary and get a lot of biblical knowledge? You don't. See, in Christ's church, leadership is about qualities of character, not about intellectual knowledge. The word household in this passage and throughout the Bible refers to an economic entity that was made up of family, slaves, servants, and employees. The closest contemporary translation would be business. So now, if you want to dig into this, just as an aside, read chapter 3 of the Good Book on Business. That's my most recent book, The Good Book on Business. Okay, in Christ's church, the leaders are people who have developed character over time and demonstrate that by, among other things, running a successful business. They are known as elders, overseers, and in some cases as shepherds. There are at least 30 incidents of the word elder being used from Acts to Revelation, and each one asserts or implies that they, together with the apostles, are the leaders of the early church. There was no such thing as a, quote, pastor as we understand them today. Among other things, the elders were to guide younger Christians, oversee the flock, be examples to the flock, pray for the ill, lead the flock, speak and teach. In the book of Acts, there are 29 places where groups of Christians are described or implied. In not one of these is there any mention of anything equivalent to our modern pastors. The church sprang up, grew, multiplied, and penetrated the known world in about 300 years without any pastors. The only use of the word pastor occurs in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's basically a mistranslation. And I, of course, I don't know the people who translated it, but I sure wonder if it wasn't intentional. So here's what one 19th century scholar had to say about it, about that mistranslation. Speaking about the original Greek word, which is translated as pastor, J.W. McGarvey, writing in 1865, had this to say. Although this term occurs in the New Testament 18 times, now talking about the original Greek word here, it is in every other instance rendered shepherd. In 7 of those instances, it is used literally for the man who attends a flock of sheep. In 9, it is applied figuratively to Jesus, and in only 1 is it applied to a class of office in the church. Now, there is no good reason for a departure in this single instance from a rendering that would otherwise be uniform throughout the New Testament. In other words, if this word were translated honestly and accurately, there would be no mention of pastors whatsoever in the New Testament. So the Bible knows nothing of paid professional pastors who are trained in seminaries. This whole notion is a man-made construction of the institutional church system. Instead, leadership in Christ's church comes with the development of a spirit-led godly character. That's first. It's not biblical. Second, this idea that one must be a seminary-trained quote-unquote pastor to be a spiritual leader harms the kingdom. Not only is it non-biblical, but it has caused incalculable harm to millions of people over multiple generations. The idea that godly leadership requires a professional trained in a seminary, that idea denigrates the rightful role of heads of businesses and minimizes the role of the Holy Spirit in shaping a person's character. As a result, business leaders are disrespected within the confines of established religion. And as a result of that, millions of Christians don't expect biblical business leaders to be spiritual leaders because, you know, quote, that's what we have pastors for. Business leaders have accepted that idea as well. Too bad. You know, since they think that they're, first of all, unqualified, since they think they are unqualified, they don't aspire to spiritual leadership. And they thus miss opportunities to be light and salt to their employees, customers, and stakeholders. Over generations, countless millions of people could have had a godly leader in their work, but they did not. They could have been cared for and prayed for by a business leader, and they were not. They could have been enticed into an examination of a relationship with Christ, and they were not. And the reason they were not is the business leaders accepted the idea that you had to be a seminary-trained pastor in order to do any of those things. Errant, wrong idea that has caused millions of people incalculable harm. Truly, the idea that spiritual leadership is confined to seminary-trained professionals, that must be one of Satan's greatest ploys. By promoting that idea, he has done untold damage to the kingdom. Well, it doesn't have to be. It can be changed. If you're a Christian business leaders, you can do what the Bible expects of leaders in Christ's church. You are a leader of your business. And that means you can guide younger Christians. You can oversee your employees and your businesses with love and compassion. You can be examples to everyone around them. You can pray for the ill and hurting within your companies. You can speak and teach when the opportunity presents itself. Spiritual leader has absolutely nothing to do with seminaries, ordination, titles, or any of the detritus of the institutional church. If you're a business leader, you're already in a position to exert spiritual influence. It's time to step up. Okay. That's it. Bye-bye. Hi, it's Dave again. Just want to take a second, really encourage you, if you haven't already, to pick up a copy of The Good Book on Business. The Good Book on Business. You can get it at thegoodbookonbusiness.com or Amazon, you know, or wherever books are sold. You can ask for The Good Book on Business. Why am I recommending it? Because there is a world of impact, impact for the kingdom that a Christian business is designed to have that most Christian business people never, ever come into contact with. And because they don't see what it is that God would like for their businesses, they don't pursue the Christian ministry section or part of their business. So this whole world of impact and opportunity for a Christian business never gets realized because people don't understand the power, the potential power of their business. Man, go get this book. You know, it's $13 or $14, you know, less than lunch. Go get the book and expose yourself to it, okay? All right, bye-bye.